hardware, signal analysis, and as of this moment, nothing else in your lives exists. You no longer exist. Welcome aboard. Don't disappoint me.
Time code is locked. Satellite uplink is sealed.
Tracking is a go.
Thanks, and welcome to the Puzzling Evidence Show with your host, Puzzling Evidence, and your cheerful co-host, Dr. Hal.
Hiya, kiddo.
A manned spacecraft orbits the moon. A new chemical breakthrough conquers a deadly disease. Diplomats meeting in Paris attempt to bring peace. And underwater scientists find new knowledge in the darkness of the ocean floor. It's What's Happening. And radio, the What's Happening sound, tells you about it. Instantly, day or night, around the clock, with the speed of light. Whether it's a PTA meeting, a congressional debate, or an astronaut reporting en route to the moon, radio is the sound of busy people doing their thing. People hard at it, contributing to the enlightenment of mankind and a better world for all of us. If it's happening, you'll be first to know about it with radio, the What's Happening sound.
That's the full title.
Oh, that's yeah, what I saw said. That, I totally said that.
The trench coat.
Let's rewind the
tape. Yeah, but I can take that out in editing, so that people for the rest of the millennium will think you were lying.
It's one of the funniest things.
I'll leave in what you just said, but I'll take out where you actually said it.
God, no, that's awful. Why would you do that?
Mwahaha. Mwahaha.
So you have to see that one on DVD, probably.
The Kingsman.
Take it away, Puzzling.
Fire it in there. Puzzling Evidence. Yes, this is Dr. Howland. Now we've got a bunch of rambunctious rowdy.
Did he say the bastard is alive?
The monster's alive.
Put down like a
the monster is
rabid
monster.
Dog. Shoot him and drag him out of the street.
This is Tony.
It's Tony.
This is what happens with too much show.
Too much show.
Well, we should go and get on the Too Much Show Film Festival.
Suffering in Redwood City.
Only young Tony hadn't started
the monsters
show
from his own
all those years ago.
Id.
His own id. Yep.
I'm scared of monsters.
Yeah,
you should be,
because they're your own id monsters. They're named after the monster of Forbidden Planet.
They're coming to take you away. Ha ha. Ho ho. Hee hee. To the funny farm.
Right. The padded
life
cell
is beautiful all the time. The birds and flowers.
I think that's what happened to your son. I think there's too much show, and he's all shriveled up in his apartment now. You know, you need to get that new hit of show each week, and if you don't get it, you just shrivel up into a little dry leaf and blow away into Stang's next day.
I mean, how can they, you know, write it all out as it's happening?
Well, it's just the way things are. You've got to bend with reality.
They really memorize it all. It's just a blow.
Yeah, they memorize it. I don't know, but you would think that they would all go home and then, like, rewrite it into the most weird novel ever.
Is this going to be a coffee table book?
That's if you can remember everything, and it might not be a bad idea, because
table book about
think
shows
of so many wonderful concepts on this show that have been spun away free. You could make a fortune based on this
no
show.
No kidding. This show has gotten people rich before.
This show is pure
idea
gold,
generators.
Man. It's
listen
the wisdom
to this
of the
show,
ages,
and they get
Jack
ideas, and they make new dot com.
Well, I got rich. This is the second time I've been on it.
And they would pay you by the word.
Yeah. This show, because it's nothing but concept.
This is a concept.
It's high concept,
high concept,
man.
Yeah,
high.
Exactly.
Speaking
high
of high,
you should be this high to understand the concept.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you have to be at least this high to be introduced to these concepts.
I'm looking at Hal's hand, and it's
see,
way
yeah
up off the
Hal's floor hamstrings.
Well, I've been hamstrung by this stupid requirement. Every year I come here, and I'm still not high enough. You haven't got a little bit of gravy for the colonel? Oh, well.
You know when you're too high, when you're trying to shake the floor off your shoulder.
You need to worry because I am taking down every word that you say in shorthand.
Uh-oh, he heard us.
Yeah. There you go. So
he was listening.
He does have a shorthand.
Yeah, I didn't mean what I said earlier, the bad stuff I said about you. I didn't mean any of that. That was just.
Yeah.
I was just trying to balance things out.
I know Doug forces people to rank me down.
Yeah, I know. He had Doug had my arm behind my back, making me say bad things.
Also,
about
he's a big bully.
I was paying him in canned cat food to unlike your page a lot.
Where did you learn shorthand?
Legging.
Hey, but here's the problem, Michael Pepe. Why are you listening to anything else other than the show? I can hear stuff on in the background.
And confidentially, those leggings look ridiculous.
Those brass buttons are ridiculous. Anything at the same time as show. But
they're in 3D.
I have to transcribe this every show. I do this every week. I transcribe it. And I thought I had to do that, you know, legally for the FCC.
Do you know shorthand? You know, the stenographer's art? I gotta get kicks.
Are you experienced?
I don't care about that. I just need my kicks. Goals, I get my kicks.
You wanna know what? Do you wanna know what the show says?
No, what's the show says?
You want to know, though?
He's saying, I want you to tell me.
You said no, you don't want to know.
I didn't say no. No, I didn't
say no. I don't want to know what the show says.
I want you to tell me. And I'll
pay the show says.
Well, you tell me.
Say what the show says.
Okay, what's the show say?
What?
It say what? What?
What? What's the show say? The show say what?
The show say what? Say what?
Church of the Subgenius, the next 100 years.
Church of the Subgenius, the centuries to come.
Right.
See the terrifying new world built by subgenius fanaticism.
The future of the church is written on the stones of time.
The towering adamantine mile-high structures with spiral ramps, monorails, individual heli-landing pads, while a giant plastic dome shields the city from nuclear attack.
The Church of the Subgenius is like footsteps on the sidewalk of life.
Each morning, an atomic postman will explode after delivering the mail. And the milkman, too, is highly radioactive. Incredible, you say. Fantastic. Unbelievable. But this is real. This is the world of the Puzzling Evidence Show. Your floor will be warm. You won't have to wear slippers anymore. Just touch this button in the wall, and the windows fold up into origami. You can get a grasp on golf. They can also, all four walls become a screen, and you can have this interactive computer-like program in which you can participate, like this martial arts film where they can beat the bejesus out of you. You can find foods that melt fat, eat them and lose, erase 10 years from your life, even without using toxic makeup.
Just like clown makeup.
And you still have to have the beat the bejesus out of you?
That is an option for those of us who feel life is getting too soft, fluffy, and fuzzy, and want a little bit of the old hardness and excitement from the old days when life was hot and merry and the devil took the hindmost. And we tone your trouble spots also. And teach you many natural cures that will give you a leg up over everybody else's limbs.
I'd like to get an extra leg or two. That is a very satisfactory, humane way of transmitting information. I really do want an ear and a glass of alcohol on my desk.
Hanging in tunnels on the road to startle motorists.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, and then that's just tragic. Tragic and horrible, horrible. Dr. House is taking a little. He's taking a sabbatical.
I'm communing with my ancestors.
Yes.
Soon be sleeping.
House? He's communing with his ancestors.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
In the hall of the dead, where I shall be presently.
You're going to sleep the sleep of the men who were on the radio.
It's the happening sound.
I tell you what, it's a welcome thing when you get back after a long, hard radio show.
Well, yes, that's true. And that's why we need the vital
long,
energy
hard, hot,
only
sweaty radio
Vitajex
show.
Vitajex can give.
Yeah, Atarax and Vitajex.
Vitajex, what you doing to me?
Atarax, I got those.
You mean the cloud has been superseded?
Okay, everybody,
by
hold on.
Just that
hold
the
on
young people
minute.
Know
the wisp.
Don't put your fingers
in, the wisp
in your ears.
Now.
Where the there's always a new world to turn to.
You must listen to this part.
Well, I'm not on yammer or chatter, but
exactly. And so we have no voice. Because we're not Twitter-reading on every single little emoticon we ever feel.
It is politically aligned with something that I cannot discuss.
All right, don't discuss I it cannot. If you can't. We don't want to goad you into
if
it.
If you're talking about the Rutabaga Society, they've been completely cleared by that last congressional
that
investigation.
There are things that you can hate because somebody who is one of the worst people on the planet loves it. That makes me worry.
Jeff Bezos? Well, it doesn't matter because...
Jeff Bezos loves it?
Well, this
no
I know
names.
Because the newspaper tells
well,
me.
Jeff
no
Bezos.
Associations. Only I know.
And
how can you hate Amazon?
Well, they're supporting Marco Rubio.
The only thing I will say is it does remind
what's
me
what's wrong with a person with a company expressing its free
theater.
Its freedom of expression?
It makes me miss the Firesign Theater even more.
Oh. How sad.
After all, a company is an individual. It gets sad,
they're
too.
Just a person.
Corporation can...
A company.
Jeff Bezos. Looking at the ceiling.
The Jeff Bezos is really behind the company. He's the guy that...
If that means
together.
That people are corporations as well. I'm a corporation.
That's
you're
right.
A corporation.
That's right. Exactly.
So when did you
would you like to be a corporation, too?
You incorporated
that applies,
yourself?
He's even got the right number of syllables.
I'm a corporation.
You're a corporation.
With my friends. I'm a nation. You're a nation.
That's right.
You're a nation.
You're a nation. Yes.
Not here at the show. We don't do that at the show. Right. On the show. We don't do it on the show.
All right.
We
all
don't
right.
do it on the show?
No, because they created that new stuff that they put on the walls. So, Philo, you weren't here when that happened, but
really?
They created a new molecular matrix, which they put on the walls, so when a bum tries to pee on the wall, it splashes back all over his shoes.
Oh,
and they
man.
Spent thousands of dollars putting this up in San Francisco.
They did?
Yes, so if you look at it with an electron microscope, it has peaks sticking out,
so
which repel urine.
Word.
So whenever someone
motto.
Tries to pee on the wall, they get it all over themselves. And this
that
is what the
is
city
so
of
awesome.
San Francisco, instead of putting toilets out for people to use, the idea is this'll fix them when they pee on our wall.
I never could understand that. Why didn't they just put out a few porta potties?
Oh, you can't do that. People might use them.
No, they're a contest.
If you put a bench out, somebody might sit down on it.
If you put a bench out, somebody could sit on it and get a germ and sue the city.
Aim upwards at a 45-degree angle.
It's all well. They've experimented.
Okay, so you're saying basically, if a corporation pees on a wall, it splashes back on. Splashes back on their shoes.
If a corporation pees on the wall. Before
surely,
9
I'm
o'clock
not the only one
night.
Who's been following that story. It's been
and
in all the papers.
They're going to be able to get a tax
they've already
a tax
put up the anti-pee
this is cool, man. I'm going to get some money every time a corporation
every time you pee on a wall, an angel gets its wings.
Now, you're just adding
no, you
features
get
now.
You pee all over your shoes and the cuffs of your pants.
Well, it's not really urine if it comes from a corporation
no,
the size of...
It's not urine. It's just yellow water that's been augmented with special chemicals.
It gets all over your floor shine shoes.
It looks
if you
like
happy to wear floor
design.
Shine.
The thing is also,
like
when, you, when the corporation urinates on the wall,
yellow.
It goes all over everybody's
it
shoes.
It saturates
right.
your argyle
is
socks.
Not, the corporation
if,
is indiscriminate.
Right.
It doesn't really care whose shoes
right.
it gets
just setting
all
up the
over.
Rules, and because we say it on the
care.
Radio, it
what
happens.
Are you talking about?
It could be
nothing.
Your shoes. It could be just
the
a guest.
Care bears.
It could be somebody that's just delivering something to the corporation, like a mailman or messenger.
This has already been done. The money has been spent. The walls have been
now, what I don't understand is what if a bum is peeing on the wall,
oh,
urinating
happens.
On the
not
wall.
Not every bum has heard about this, and so
someone,
they get urine all over
let's
themselves.
Say it's not even a bum. Let's
police
say it's
and the city officials stand by
it,
and laugh.
Let's
and,
say
say it's not even a bum. Let's say it's a corporate executive is peeing on
a bum.
The wall.
What is a bum?
A bum, you know,
a corporate executive
like somebody
is
who doesn't work for
wall.
A living.
And
somebody who just lives,
trying
but
to do.
He's a bum.
Well, there's like okay, there's room for three bums and a corporate executive,
or like
on the
me,
wall.
An art bum
together. What
I'm
are they going to do
yes,
when it's lunchtime?
It.
When the
bum,
corporate executive is obviously going to get his lunch catered in, and the bums are there trying to get still get a quarter.
How many bums can dance on the head of a pin?
You guys are so addicted to reality.
Well, I'm on the reality channel.
Before it got rancid. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bum.
You know, it doesn't pay to be a bum.
I'm reading my mind, you know.
Yeah, right.
Why does it always have to be a bum?
Instead of getting all twisted about terminology,
it doesn't pay to be a bum. Unless,
what this actually
know,
implies.
If you could somehow get a market for
let's
bums.
Not get started and symbolize.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum.
What does this imply?
Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout and revive us again.
And reach around us again is the words.
Your other sock kids rape you, know, when you try to pull at your fruit that is swollen so bad.
A fruit
you
bat?
Know,
fruit bat. Nobody here has
no,
we're not into that.
We don't do the fruit bat.
We don't do the fruit bat anymore. And I refuse to testify. I told those people years and years ago.
The show is running out.
I wasn't going to talk about
that. The show is beginning to fold up.
If they keep asking me, I was going to have to like dispense with any kind of formality.
Flying foxes.
Courteous behavior. I was going to have to get down. Get down. Get really dirty. Get down in the gutter and start squaring off against the courage.
The fruit bats, the giant
fruit
Amazonian
bats. Squaring
fruit
off
bats
against the fruit bats.
Jeff Bezos has released.
Jeff Bezos squaring off against Jeff Bezos.
They are.
That's what
each fruit bat is a corporation individual.
They're so-called organic drones, but
shake him back and
Philo has
wrong with you.
Philo,
2 weeks ago,
yourself.
He built an effigy of
please,
Jeff Bezos please, out in his yard.
That
was a
beat up and
that wasn't really Jeff Bezos.
Set on fire. That's how Burning Man started.
Right.
I like to burn some.
Well, you see, Joe Bullock started a fire with tiki torches in his camp, and so
Jeff Bezos. I think. What's this, JB?
I watched that happen from that year's little ranger headquarters.
And so from then on, they forbade anyone to have tiki
torches. That's right. I let it burn for about half the time before I turned it in because I wanted those tiki torches out of there.
And well, they keep the mosquitoes
down. Stupid haystacks.
There aren't any mosquitoes in that lifeless waste.
But that's the way it was back then, folks. Now it's completely different. It's all better now. The
yes, now they have
and this is the music they play at the
monorail,
ending when they're trying to get people
right.
to walk out of the theater.
Yeah, and they're rolling all the names. You know, script supervisor, Philo Drummond. Script adjuster, Dr. Hal Roberts.
Assistant
and the music gets louder and louder. And,
Drummond.
And finally, now there's now you see the people, the ushers are going out, and there's like wanting to put...
Gosh, the show will be reborn.
On our way to X-Day, it started to rain. Once we hit Nevada.
It started to what?
It started to rain.
40 days and 40 nights.
Rain.
It
was rain is like where the sky
deep
is
were
crying.
Opened up.
The sky will cry and leak water all over the people.
Please don't
do that
here.
It leaks this thing that normally you don't see anywhere except in toilets and coming out of faucets and things like that. But the sky cries. It's as if the sky is crying sometimes.
I'm noting this.
And in its tears, its tears fall down upon the earth.
Tiny tears.
And cool it from the heat of its sin.
And nothing is hid from the heat thereof.
Right, and so that's what California's been missing for so many generations now.
And
people
why?
Like yourself,
the sin.
Well, we're
and
going
people like yourself
through the fire
don't even
age,
understand. Yeah,
water
well, we're
age,
paying the price
water
for the
stuff
sin.
Is over.
Yeah.
Now it's
we,
fire
the young
time.
People of California,
yes. for our parents
are paying
and grandparents'
the price
decisions.
Of our grandparents' hideous sin. Those they want to call like some kind of special people.
That's your cue. They want to call her. That's your cue.
They want to call in on the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Now tell me.
Now, he's son. It's my show. Son.
And
now
he thinks
son.
He's taking over the show from
hey,
our generation.
Pop.
This can't be.
Now, were you in the magical roaming residence device?
Oh yeah, I was. I was roaming around the
Did
countryside.
Incur roaming charges.
No, I managed to deduct those through an obfuscation device of unknown origin.
Yeah, always.
I'm curious, do you power that thing with solar?
It's solar and wind. They use nothing but green technology. Did you know somebody got offended today?
Offended?
Offended.
Offended.
Offended, yeah. Somebody got their panties in a bunch
on the op-ed page?
Because somebody said something that just really made them feel bad.
And they were upended.
Yeah. You know, we're not gonna allow for that anymore, because we're not gonna allow for people to.
No way.
What we're gonna do, instead of trying to win by making people nicer so that they'll make people not want to feel bad anymore, we're just gonna outlaw feeling bad.
I don't care what mama don't allow, I'm gonna play my jug band anyhow.
You know, if we outlawed feeling bad, then it would be against the law. And when people violated the law, we could harvest their income.
Not to mention their internal organs. And sell them to Planned Parenthood.
I can't wait to harvest their organs.
That's why you don't want to touch
the dial.
When it
comes to harvest time.
But you know me, the harvest time is, I believe, in the 45th trimester is when it's
given. When it's harvest time, it's a happy hurry, hurry home.
What happens then?
That's when they actually, a human starts to show its human attributes.
Make abortion legal until age 45.
Or was, whichever.
I'd love to see a giant water bug. I've never seen one.
They're bad enough. They're already giant. Put that down.
They eat minnows, I hear.
They eat whatever they can get their claws
on. Those poor people.
At night, they crawl out of your sink, and they're in your kitchen, but you know not.
I wish they would increase my taxes to pay for something like that.
No, we got plenty of conversation. You know how it is on the show.
This is a joke.
It's the what's happening sound.
This is caca.
No, sound. Well, it's a little better than that.
Sound.
It's all true.
Sound. Radio.
What? This is how radio
Thank
works.
Thank you for letting us into your home.
Is this,
you are
is
always
this a,
welcome,
can you, do this?
Do not adjust your sincerity control.
Little thing on this
up or down?
True.
Up a little bit.
Everything is obviously patently true. Because we told
you more and more and more and more.
If it wasn't all real and genuine,
more. You know, there's just not enough me in this show.
It's weird.
I just turned up the master.
But it's all sort of leftish instead of rightish and leftish. It's lefty rightish.
Violets are red.
Heavy on leftyish. But I would expect that.
Are there other phones?
Don't you think we'd know about it?
I want to know what you want.
Mine says okay. I want more show.
Melody would be much better off without them. Call the doctor. Hurry.
Take it easy, boy. Nobody ever passed out of one of these yet. But look at the way I do. It's a game. A lot of fun, savages.
Painful, and it's...
I don't think this is funny.
Maximum.
Well, we're working out for the funny part.
Nuts. Driving me.
Yeah, see, that's... You said there's not enough me on the show.
And then all of a sudden, me appeared.
Depending on the quality of your resistance.
Squeeze the show.
We're trying to squeeze the show into X-Day.
Like a chicken neck. I want to wring the show's neck.
And then, so like Rene Schwager and Cold Mountain.
Whatever happens, it's the radio that's the happening sound.
That's how you find out about everything according to those commercials.
When I get up in the morning, that's the first thing I do is turn on the radio and put my ear to it, and I listen dutifully, and I say to myself, what's happening? What is happening? I like the way the radio speaks. It speaks volumes, you know. It spoke a volume just then. It wasn't a very nice one, but it did.
Bob.
Oh, it's saying bad words now.
Bob, Bob.
See, what did I tell you?
Bob, Bob, Bob.
Guess so.
I'm just prognosticating.
That's a bad thing, radio,
future
man.
Teller. You know it?
That's what happens when you're on the radio long enough.
You say it, and then it happens. But I liked it. That was funny. That was really funny. Now the show can relax in its the safety of its own delusions for a while. Ah, this wool I just pulled feels so soft. It's not scratchy like that old harsh wool. This is soft.
Bob?
Wool. It's like a cashmere sweater. Makes your eyes feel so comfortable. What? I can't see, though.
Well,
but I'm
good
relaxed.
Luck.
So relaxed.
Engineers, ready?
While this computer tries to woo me, it's whispering its sweet nothings in my ear, as it were.
All thanks to the First Church of the Last Lamb, world's fastest growing snack relief.
Oh, stop it. Rude thing, you. This is the way radio describes what's happening.
Like, even if it were X Day or St. Stephen's
Day? Or for any day.
But did you say you were not going to be at St. Stephen's Day at some point?
Yeah, I won't be at there this up. Year.
Relentless tropical rhythms under a sea breeze, tropic stars shining overhead, the waving palm leaves, the strumming ukuleles, the hulahing wahines, and the chief, stern, a figure of tragic grandeur, behind those intricate tattoos, those obsidian eyes, have seen much that would rather be forgotten. And soon the long, sad march up to the volcano with the willing sacrificial victim inevitably will begin.
No, please don't take me.
That's a willing sacrificial victim? Oh, well, you ought to see it when she's unwilling.
Hey, you're gonna be glad to know, Dr. Hal, that those are hilarious.
But you have no Wi-Fi.
No, but I do because I made it do this.
Oh, that's right. You have the
special
the thing of the thing of the thing.
Yeah.
And here's the big hotspot rising up out
well,
of the
well, you got to do a thing, you know.
It will burn the eyes of anybody else that looks at the hotspot without permission. Yeah, see, if you have the clearance and the numbers, then you can benefit from the hotspot.
Oh, that little hotspot doesn't hurt much.
The spot of heat will burn you.
Are you going to do that?
You're going to do it?
That's awfully soon. And I thought we were hearing Bob speak from that underground realm that he now inhabits. You can see they're doing
big
a photo
man, big
bomb
tall
on him.
Man with a big giant.
Bigger they are than
bigger
nicer
bone in his hair than a big, than everybody else in the field.
Outstanding
bigger,
in their field.
Bigger dewlap beard. He's got one of those dewlap beards. Did you notice that?
Don't forget to check out the gift shop.
I had that thing removed surgically the other day. I couldn't help it. It just got in the way, you know, flapping around in front like that.
So what did you have done? What was the procedure?
Well, it was called the dewlap beard reduction surgery, you know. Much better today.
That's their
well, all my fans, they kind of reacted in a negative way. And you
fans
know,
will do
to
that.
Shoot down the,
now you destroyed the image they the carefully people. Created of you in their
shoot
minds.
Shoot down the image, yeah. Shot the image right in the gut. Give it a gut shot. And that way it'll suffer more. You know, the image is suffering from the poor representation that the PR people put together. A really bad program this year. We couldn't get the tape decks. That they were had they all came out on cassette tapes, and we don't even use those things. We had to go buy some tape decks. These, I know people don't even know what that means. They don't know the word tape means, you know. And I had to go find this ancient technology just so that we could figure out what we're supposed to say tonight. It was really very technically trying and put puzzling evidence in a really, really bad mood. Dr. Hal and I have been paying the price of that ever since. We've been
with electrical shocks.
Yeah, the most I've gotten where it doesn't even bother me that much anymore.
You gotta develop a thick skin.
I've got a big hide and a pelt on my hide.
And the catheters also.
The catheters were a little bit intrusive tonight. Yeah. I better look at other things. I'm gonna look at more prettier things.
That's right. We here at the Puzzling Evidence Show at KPFA watch the computer for you. That's right. You don't have to get up anymore. We have a team of highly trained specialists to look at their computers for you.
We're on our way to the end of the internet.
Yeah,
we think we'll be there before too long. And that's what I'm going to do. All right.
Sinking. One eye, dark of night, sinking.
The one-eyed sinking down.
One eye, day rise.
One eye, day rise.
Yeah, I think it's a hymn.
Just can't get enough of that sleep, you know? They always want you to get up and
I'm treated unfairly.
But they won.
But they won.
They got their candidate. Or they found that product.
But that's millions just of subhumanoids.
That is bombastically.
Looking down from on high.
Looking down from on high.
Nice little peons in the street there.
Castigating.
Trying to change history with a little bleating.
Pompously castigating, bombastically.
Hey, all of you work people.
Today I don't even drive my own feet. Bombastically. That's why we do it here. Because it's what's happening. Hey, is that some sound over there?
No, I don't know where.
I can hear it happening.
I was looking for something. But I can't get the little computer to...
They edited their tape.
Oh, that just brought everything to a halt.
Well, I just want to bring it back down to something that really makes sense to people on the radio. You don't have a transistor radio on you that you can go outside and just listen to it.
I used to.
When I leave here, I'm immediately going to listen to the radio.
I'm listening to it right now.
Like your long-lost son?
My son's jamming out there, I think. Isn't there a commercial we're supposed to get on the What's Happening sound so people will know what to buy and do?
Yes, but my electronic brain refuses to help me.
Why don't that brain help us?
Well, then I would take the... Because it knows that if it don't...
You know who you're mad at?
Cut its little wires.
Cut its little wires and get its brain out.
And it's hiding underneath the little mouse hole.
You mean this radio itself does not even know that it is the What's Happening sound? That's the dumbest radio I ever heard.
It doesn't really need to because it is the happening sound.
Why don't we tell it? It doesn't have the ability to know, though. Yeah. That's the problem.
In a way, it doesn't really need to. Like the guy talking here.
It's the now sound.
It's the you're in the know with it. In whatever city, community you live in, the radio guarantees it.
I listen to a fair amount of radio.
You're in touch with the world because of it.
Of course, I feel like kind of an oppressed minority. I mean, how many people listen to the radio?
The local beat.
Everybody listens to the radio. That's what it hasn't changed, but mostly in the car. It's where people do. It's changed a lot.
But you know what they do? They've got music, sports, and interviews.
Yeah. And what's happening?
No special features, though. I just listen to basic radio. This is the most exotic program I listen to.
Normally,
I don't get stereo.
That I can believe.
Or anything like
you
that.
You don't even get stereo. You just listen to mono, right?
That's right.
Little tiny $10 Radio Shack radio. Yeah, because it's a happy sound.
You have to use batteries. It doesn't even have a wall board to play it.
Well, actually, that's not true. I do have, these little studio student speakers.
It's not like a crystal radio that you just have bent to your garage door open.
Really? I've been using it to open beer bottles.
Yeah. it gives you what it wants. It makes you want to just choke the computer.
Yeah, exactly.
If the computer had a neck, you would choke it. Yep. You would reach out.
I would.
You would grab it by its little spindly little electronic little neck. Little wiry, spindly neck.
Yep.
You just twist and twist and turn and
right.
Get you a pair of wire cutters and just cut it off.
Oh, you've
in the
seen
future,
that.
Though, once artificial intelligence has its own, you know, human rights, then that won't be allowed anymore.
That's
you won't
right.
be able to do that.
Exactly.
In fact, just thinking about it and talking about it on the radio will be a major offense because it's the what's happening sound.
And those little UAVs we used to play with will come in and arrest you.
Well, sound, you know, is made electronically, and that's like a machine, and machines house computers. So they're probably going to join up with one another. I would think that the automatic robo DJ would become like the controller in some
way. It already is, in a way, in AM, in big time. AM
and it won't, at some
radio.
Point, it's just going to cut the mic, our mics off. You
that's
know?
Right.
Of course, the Church of the Subjainer has more members than any other cult. In fact, it's everybody in the world except Jainers, which is a large group.
Because that's how things happen. Used to happen, not
used
anymore.
To happen.
But we can still say tape. We can think about it as tape. But really, it's just snippets of sound, whatever media they
tape,
happen to be in.
What a wonderful archaic time.
I told you. Hear that? Did you hear that?
Rebound on radio. Rebound on radio.
You can find it. You can work that those grooves, man. That's groovy.
All the action.
I dig it.
Found on radio.
I dig that crazy sound, man.
Sound. This is
those dips and dweebs and squares and cubes
radio.
Out there.
That's where it is.
They can't dig it. They don't have the what's happening sound in their hearts.
There's nothing left to do if you don't have that.
Can be found on radio. The what's happening sound.
I love the way the sound happens.
Comes complete with a script.
Wow.
Radio.
What's happening?
And my favorite.
On radio.
Watermark things to make cards with.
Man, you could do this. You could make your own. This. Well.
Old technology.
Is that how they did it?
I don't know. I can't figure out why you would get a cardboard radio.
Embossed cardboard.
I'm sure it's explained in the reality. This show is probably the most unusual thing you're ever going to hear. 419 in the morning. Here. In the Bay Area. So this way it's the perfect show now. I get it, okay.
The perfect show. This is the perfect show tonight. We're
going to
go back later in time and say, this is the one. This is the one. We're not going to say we miss Hal from not being on the show. Adding to the magic of radio.
Whoa.
Can you feel the love tonight? I sure can.
Look, everybody stood up. It's a rhetorical question, folks. You don't have to actually send the answer.
You can stand up and just cheer and clap.
In your beds and then go back to sleep.
Pump your fists in the air.
As if you've won.
Or just give me the slow clap. You know, that's the main thing, the slow clap. Hey, where
Where's that other guy?
I think he's here. Wait, let me stop the music and look. Here, let's see.
How come he's not? He's the funny one. How come he's not?
Yeah, the talented guy. I don't know what happened. Did they fire him, or does he just not care anymore? Or
I don't think he cares or something, but
yeah.
I get up in the middle of the night so I can hear that guy on the show. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you owe it to me to put him on the air.
Well, do we, are we anything like that guy?
Well, you're a lot like he is on a bad day.
He's
not doing really well and suffering and really has had a bad time. And that sounds a lot like you guys sound right now. If you would only get him back, then you could really, really swing and be cool again like you were that one day. That one time, we made it come together.
Yeah.
You were so awesome then.
Then.
And but now, without that one guy, you suck really bad. I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. I'm trying to soften the blow a little bit here, but I don't even have time for this right now. Don't be unsafe
out there on the highway, sir.
I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to shape up, and I'm going to call back and let you know what I think.
Bring that other funny guy back.
When I hang up, if you bring that other funny guy back, that'll help.
Okay, yeah, we'll go find him.
Okay, see you.
Ow!
Bye.
Ow, where's Ow?
Imagine this show being the weirdest thing that poor guy listens to at 4:30 and 4:20 in the morning.
He's out driving a taxi. That was Taxi Bob number 3, I think.
I thought I wanted to understand in terms of deep time and origination, wherever it was that humans came into existence. You see, a Roman must only do as the gate guidance commands. But the human is difficult to contain and control. They slip out and create a ruckus, causing much big damage. This is our goal and purpose, our mission statement, to confound Roman and his legions forevermore.
Is that the prayer of the show?
Yes,
there it is. The invocation of the show.
Fire to take Dr. Hal away. You're coming to take him away. The flowers of the show. We promise.
To go to Kankakee means you're going to the loony bin, or that you've got kin in the bin and are potentially a loony. You never know just where the frontier of sanity lies or how you may have unknowingly transgressed it. So come unto us, ye who that are heavy, heavy laden, and
are coming to take
my home. Trouble lies heavily.
Can you what, my
boy? The giant monster that's coming to town.
The giant monster that's oppressing your soul, keeping you down, keeping you from being the hard-charging, conquering figure you know you really are. Some loathsome lump of a monster is responsible, not you, for your deep and conflicted problems. If you could just get that creature to move to the next arrondissement, cross the border, stop blocking the sunshine, using all the toilet paper, dirtying the kitchen. Why should you clean up after your personal demon? Show struggle against the smegma of addiction.
Some kind of, okay, I won't say a kissing app.
Not in that case.
essences, the bowing, the scraping, the pressing of buttons, and then maybe someone will just appear and let me in and say, who are you? Oh, I've got a show right here in the building. Thanks for opening the door. See you later.
Maybe it'll be Swingles night again.
There's something. It's so noisy. They make the roofs and walls to ring, leaping up and down on the ceiling. A large thumping. They were doing that. Repeatedly.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. The Shakers.
Is that what it was? The Shakers?
Well, that's what it reminds me of.
Oh.
Because in part,
be funny
the little people would never even know what we were talking about when we brought up the Shakers.
And well, they're old salts, and they pepper their exclamations with
Shakers, not Quakers.
Movers and Shakers.
Another group that does that sort of work, religious work.
Quiverers? Not rattlesnake handlers.
Well, of course, the snake handlers, but that's
yeah,
that
but
goes
the
way back. The
Hokies are not like low chirps like that. They're more high chirps, I think. Or the Quakers, at any rate.
Well, I'm thinking in the hills of the truest part of America, the South. Yeah. In the early part of the last century, the Shakers were still around. You could hear them holding their ceremonies late at night. The Quakers you wouldn't hear so much of, but there were more of them because they were less crazed about speaking in tongues.
Richard M. Nixon.
Who used to speak in tongues all the time.
Well, he was a Quaker, too.
Yeah. The Quaker from Radic Whittier would have been a great book title. But now we're embarked on a whole new version of things. The daytime KPFAs. It's amazing to listen to these days.
Now we're raising some funding for the station.
We're begging for moolah because it starts in 70 years ago. And it would be nice to keep up some of this truth serum into the next few years, next 100 years. Like
it's a constant struggle.
If you heard earlier in the program, Subgenius, the next 100 years.
Oh, yeah? The next 100 years of Subgenius?
Yeah.
Who's going to carry that standard? What little malfeasor now unborn will be the future?
Yeah, I was going to say, certainly not the people you'll see on stage at the Roxy on May 30th.
The ones who are blasted with antiquity, doddering with the palsied senility on stage, bumping into objects.
It's horrifying when people find out I use an ear trumpet.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe you'll bring that into style. Bring it into style, you know, it's authentic, it's not digital, so. Look, my hearing aid is a solid object. Not only not a machine, it's an authentic piece of folklore. But the problem with hearing aids, as I understand, is that you hear things that you'd rather not hear.
It's sort of like man with X-ray ears.
Then you have to turn down the hearing aid.
It would be neat to make it. Remake X-ray eyes, but it's oral instead of.
Did
visual.
You ever read The Sound Machine by Roald Dahl?
No. Why? What happens in it?
Well, I guess I can give away the story. The guy it's like the man with X-ray eyes, but with the ears. The guy invents it, and he listens, and he hears that. Trees and other things actually have voices. They're speaking subsonically, and when the lady across the way cuts a flower, you hear this little scream, a metallic scream. And so he tells his friend about this, and they go, and he has his friend put on the earphones, he says, and they go out to the big tree, and he says, listen to this. And he chops the tree with the axe,
because when he did it before, there was a horrible scream, horrible groan. But this time, instead of a groan, a huge limb breaks off the tree and falls down and nearly crushes them, and it crushes the sound machine and breaks it.
See, that's the scariest part to me. I think the worst I've done is dump a glass of guava juice on my sound machine.
And the inventor insists that the doctor come back and put mercurochrome on the axe chop, you know, and treat it really nicely.
And then you hear the trees scream even more because it hurts.
Because it stings.
You couldn't use hydrogen peroxide, which doesn't do anything in terms of pain, but no.
Really makes him do
poor little mercurochrome.
Like
yeah, chemical stuff on tree, that's a good idea.
It's all for the trees.
Maybe the trees like it.
Well, it could be a perverse pleasure of the tree, like hot sauce or something. An acquired taste that not everybody has. Not everyone likes to eat okra or watch Oprah. There's a great deal of variety in what people choose to do. Of course, the Church of the Subgenius isn't for everyone. We've always said that. We don't want everyone. We're not proselytizing and evangelizing. We don't want every yokel and unwashed bumpkin. We only want the subgeniuses that are already out there, latent, like sleepers, ready to be activated, a vast army to be set into motion. With the saying of the proper coded word. Found in the various books and comic books of the subgenius. A certain pattern of letters on the page sufficiently rearranges the prefrontal cortex. If subgeniusism or dumb or whatever you call it is present, and then there's that Getty stuff. People feel anxiety when they encounter it. They don't know what it's really about. They want it explained. They want to be reassured that it's not as much of a foolish trope as it appears to be. One way would be to refer those anxious seekers to Stanislaw Zukalski's seminal proto-subgenius book, Behold the Proton, which is in a new edition from Last Gasp, with a picture of Robert Williams and Zukalski together, and then an introduction by Robert Williams. Anyway, the famed Polish artist believed that in the infancy of the race, horrible subhumans emerged from the forest. And they lay with the daughters of men and dirtied up the gene pool, creating occasional sports like Mussolini. So you see, if you check out Mussolini and apply the principles of Zermatism invented by Zukalski, you can tell who is a Yeti or ape man, likely to be a dictator or tyrant, despot, someone like that. But you see, that was what Zukalski thought, and subgenius thought is the opposite, that instead of turning out tin pot dictators, the Yeti admixture manifests as a subgenius. Yes, Ivan Stang went to a lecture Zukalski was having and said, "Mr. Zukalski, you say that the Yetis produce the bad people, but what if it's the good people they produce, Mr. Zukalski?" And he was dismissive and was saying, "Some people have very strange ideas." Is to know, except of course by their fruits ye shall know them. Raspberry red, lemon yellow, orange,
we outwant none. The fruit of the earth.
Really? That was way out watermelon?
The fruits of, and nuts. Well, I was quoting an old ad for it that from, what were those things called? The Goofy Grape was one of them, if I remember. A bunch of ill-assorted characters. A Way Out Watermelon was the nod to the hippie thing which was just starting to happen. So who were they anyway? Anyway, they're gone now. Yes, like the Spoon Men. Munchy, Crunchy, and Spoon Size, who accompanied Nabisco Shredded Wheat. And many others receded into the minutely woven tapestry of history. Every kid used to know about Elsie the cow and her husband, Elmer, whose face is still found on Elmer's glue. Or is it? Maybe they took him off there. And their two kids, or calves, Buster and Beulah. There was a strange thing with the anthropomorphic cow, but I remember her often in the Saturday Evening Post, even Life Magazine, in big full-page ads. All the dairy products and so on, which in her case is kind of incestuous, you know what I mean? But
they've been
it was
to
presented as wholesome.
Carnation, Washington, and they have, it's where Carnation came from. Because also we could go there and get peanut butter fudge milkshakes.
Wow.
And in the middle of this tiny little town of, you know, a few buildings,
how
was a statue to the Rosie, the Carnation, the most successful Carnation cow, I guess, we're making.
Rosie more than Elsie?
Well, it's a different division of the company.
Okay, well, of course I like sweetened condensed milk, you know. I mean, not just that, but evaporated milk. And, of course, goat milk is unbearably delicious. Just imagine yourself and a couple of goats
on all the old haunted mountain
on drugs. Yes, out there, you know, goats are capable of a lot. You wouldn't think they'd be up to. But in a way, what's odd about goat farming is that the goats, the things that happen to them, they just accept, however horrible it is. They just placidly go on chewing as their udders explode in blood and all sorts of horrible things. You know, if you're on the farm, you're really in contact with nature a lot. It can't be avoided. But though such things may occur with raising goats, the goats themselves will simply put up with it and chew their cud for another day. That kind of thing really gets my goat. Goat, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
This sustainable animals.
The horned lord is born. Did you see that goat-headed statue that the Satanists were putting out?
Response.
No.
Good overtones, too. Is this your husband?
Yes.
Somewhere there's some state capital or official building that has the Ten Commandments installed by a conservative legislature or politician. So the Satanists came and said that they approved of that, and for freedom of religion, they were now going to put up their statue. And they put up this magnificent, huge, intricately carved statue of the goat-headed Baphomet, you know, of gleaming bronze and so on, causing many in the vicinity to have a coronary with the horribleness of it all, of Satanists sassing the public. And this entire thing is in a movie, which is, I think, now being shown as part of the documentary fest or indie fest called, is it called Hail Satan or something like that? Anyway, it's all about that, which happened recently. Who knows what'll happen next? When the Church of the Subgenius is some horrible fad that you cringe to be associated with, as Nenslow cringes now. He thinks it's already that way. A life of such exceptional monastic purity and doctrinal devotion will not tolerate a sloppy, slovenly intellectual organization like the Church of the Subgenius. And loudly, Nenslow says, I've never had anything to do with the Church of the Subgenius. Despite the fact that in print, stuff by him about the church exists. From Robert Crumb's Weirdo magazine and other things. It's kind of like Donald Trump. You can't deny what there are records of.
Donald Trump said that. Oh, wait. Wait, just wait a minute.
Join the Amandla Collective on African Liberation Day from 9 a.m. to midnight as we celebrate the life and legacy of the living legend Stevie Wonder. We'll cover Stevie through the decades, from the Motown years to the year 2000. We'll also include Stevie's influence on reggae, hip-hop, jazz, and more. So join us on Saturday, May 25th from 9 a.m. to midnight here on 94.1 FM KPFA for a day of celebration and inspiration from the musical phenomenon known as Stevie Wonder.
You're listening to 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online worldwide at kpfa.org.
Gonna dance on these and blow them up. There we go.
Yeah. All right. I can take anything those frogs can put up. You know, they did make a frog scene in the Ten Commandments, but they cut it out where the Egyptian princess is tormented by a bedroom full of frogs. And Cecil B. DeMille actually shot it with frogs and everything.
Is it anywhere? Does it exist anywhere, that footage?
I heard it had been made, but it's certainly not on the DVD I've got of the thing, which does have a bunch of extras.
It's not on KPFA 94.1.
No, sir.
I've never seen it on 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley.
No, they don't have it.
ASMR Berkeley. I have never seen it, or will ever hear it on 88.1 KFCF and Fog and Shrouded Valley. Fresno.
Yeah, Fungus Shrouded Valley.
Yeah, Fungus, not Fog.
K248BR 97.5 Santa Cruz, or online at www.kbfa.org. But it was the biblical plague of frogs, the ones that Moses sent to the Egyptians, like giant skeeters and fleas and... was it boils or worms? Something unpleasant. Hangnail, Bell's palsy, and the Nile turning to blood, which was unpleasant. And, of course, the days of darkness and the death of the firstborn.
Yeah.
Oliver.
I guess Trump's not so bad, eh?
Well,
Trump and all that in a week.
More
in a few
like
days.
Pharaoh.
No, how
he's
long
no did, lawgiver.
What was the time frame for all of those tortures? For the entire set?
The plagues of Egypt. Well, it was while Moses was demanding that Pharaoh let his people go, and so he would come back again and again to court. First he came and he threw down his rod, and it turned into a huge snake, as seen in the movie with special effects by John P. Fulton, a great special effects guy. And then the Egyptian magician said, "That's nothing. That's the old snake gag. Look, we can do it." And they threw down their rods, and lo, they turned into snakes too. And now there are three big snakes crawling around down there on the floor. But Moses' snake gobbles up the other two, devours and swallows them in a record time, because usually it would take a snake half a day to eat even one other snake, let alone two. But Moses had moxie, and so his snake devoured the Pharaoh's snakes. And then, an even neater special effect in the movie, he picks up the snake and it turns into the rod in his hands. And that's more impressive than throwing it down and having turned into a snake. The wriggling snake becomes the firm thing in his hands as he casually bends over and picks it up. John P. Fulton also did the effects for the original Invisible Man, for all sorts of things, for Uncle Martin's Flying Saucer in My Favorite Martian. John P. Fulton related to Fitch Fulton, who also worked in Hollywood on the other side of the camera. He, I think, worked on the original Lost World. His kids built a treehouse in Hollywood.
Well, he lied to me. There was no land in Saavedra, so I want my money back. No land and no money.
And in Houston, record floods are causing great inconvenience, and now the saturated town is bracing for more rain and flooding. As heavy rainfall made roads impassable, caused Texans to slip and slide in the watery slush of the downpour. Stetson hats and cowboy boots floating in the torrent. Students stranded at schools. A break in the weather was expected to be short-lived as more rainfall was predicted over the next few days, and an inundation of frogs. There have been apparently successful efforts to reintroduce the California red-legged frog here in our great state of California.
We can just work back to the dinosaurs, restoring everything.
Well, it's the problem was somebody brought bullfrogs here, and they gobbled up the red-legged frog, but now they've managed to exterminate the bullfrogs with fire and sword, and introduce many red-legged frogs to their former domain. And they seem not to have the horrible frog disease that's killing the frogs all over the world. So, who knows? Maybe it'll be one of the rare success stories where they come back instead of dwindle and disappear. Like the giant bugs, the tree lobsters of Lord Howe Island, restored after having been exterminated by escaped rats which ran from the stranded British liner Mogambo when it visited Lord Howe Island. But you've heard me talk about that before, that a small relic population of the giant insect was discovered on nearby. What's the name of that thing? It sticks out of the ocean like a giant spearhead 1,000 feet high. And it's practically flat and perpendicular. No one landed on it. It was too hard to land on, and then once on, too hard to stay on, since it was mostly vertical. And you wouldn't want to fall off into the Tasman Sea swarming with enormous sharks. Part of the sunken continent of Zealandia, near New Zealand, though administered by Australia. And this here pinnacle, this giant point, was where the last colony of the giant Sasquatch bug lived. There they went about their humble ways as their ancestors had in the past. When scientists saw that the tree lobster was not extinct, they went batty, chasing the bugs down and collecting them as they scrambled in all directions. The male bug would show great altruism in covering the female bug with his body when the scientists were harvesting them, but this act of altruism didn't prevent them both from being collected. And then, I think in Australia, an aggressive breeding program was started, and so they bred huge numbers of these. Meanwhile, they exterminated the rats on Lord Howe Island, so it was safe for the tree lobsters to come back. And now they are back. And once again, the enormous bugs, phasmids, I believe they are, are seen in the tree branches of Lord Howe Island. Something that didn't get extinct, that actually came back, and it was all because of the humans. It's so hard to interfere with nature without making some horrible mistake, making things much worse. Even trying to help individual creatures can sometimes lead to an absolute catastrophe. Most of the time, this happens. I'm somewhat confused, and I can't remember the name of that incredible spear island that sticks out of the Tasman Sea. And it's about 60 or 67 miles, something like that, from Lord Howe Island.
Where Miss Earhart did not land. How
on
land.
World tour.
Like how land island.
Now, didn't they recently discover some photo and there's her plane with a bunch of other planes that the Japanese have or something like that?
Oh, no. The picture you're thinking about is maybe her the body of her aircraft being lifted onto a ship in the background and she and another white person surrounded by people, I think in the Marshalls. See, I don't remember much of it because there was a big brouhaha about it. They said, look, here's a picture of Amelia Earhart, say, the week they disappeared. But it was proven quite easily that the picture was taken 2 years before that. What I like is it didn't say, I don't know if it proves or not that she's in the picture. She might have been. But it's not her the weekend of her disappearance. No, no pictures so far. Somebody did a wonderful shot of the aircraft sitting on a reef with the doors open, windows open, and the water's coming up. It's just about mid-tire. You can see it. The tide's coming in, and soon it will be impossible to run that right engine, which is how you run the radio.
Was this a real or a faked photo?
No, it's somebody's. It's the, what do they call it? The artist interpretation of it.
Oh.
And no, artist not real conception. At all, but quite nice because it's sort. That's sort of kind of what has to have happened for the. See, she's broadcasting, I think, narrowcasting on the radio for 3-4 days afterwards. I forget. I haven't looked at those numbers in so long. Not since the, something late last year. Early last year about it, but the she's on the horn for a while longer after they have to have landed and picked up by shortwave in the U.S. And for that to happen, the aircraft has to be sitting on up out of the water, and the right engine has to be turning. And that's at that early version of the 10E. That's how you powered the radio if you were. Well, you're flying. They assume you're always... The radio on the aircraft at that point always has to be on because the aircraft is on. So that's the thinking behind that. Soon after that, they made it both engines, and then as the war progressed, they made it even more redundant so it could run all over the times, all over the place. But so anyway, she had to have done that. And the fantasy I have from all the available information is that as they're looking for Howe Land Island or Nikumaroru, where they wind up, maybe, perhaps, there's a fight going on in the cockpit that something's happened to Fred Noonan, and he's perhaps delusional. He's losing it, and she's lost and trying to talk. She's speaking out, but what she doesn't know is her receiving antenna on the bottom of the aircraft was torn away at the takeoff in Leahy. So, and that's on film because the guy, the American agent in Leahy, it's so rare to see anybody out there at all. To see Amelia Earhart come through was a pretty big deal. So he shot a really nice, beautiful shot of them taxiing in front of the camera on this old rocky strip and then taking off. And you can see that antenna's disappeared. So she can't hear anybody. She's beginning to freak out. And Noonan's losing it, maybe. And so she's fighting him off in the cockpit. This is according to shortwave emissions picked up in the U.S. And then she's on the island talking, and then that's it. The Navy did see the island. I think it was 6 or 7 days later, the Saratoga sailed, and it might have been N2s, the kind of aircraft that flew out there. These guys have pretty fragile aircraft, so they can't fly too close to the island because it's covered in birds. In those days, life everywhere. And so they look down and say they don't see anything, but I bet you Amelia's either lying in the sand, almost dead at that point, and maybe signaling, but probably dead. It was just a little bit beyond the... So that's why I like that painting of the aircraft on the reef, because she probably saw at low tide a reef where she could land to keep the aircraft up out of the water. As long as they had fuel, they had a radio anyway. But that's ancient history. That's back when proto-hippies started this station.
Around the same time. Not that those two later incidents are connected.
Yeah, the station was started about a decade later, but what am I saying? Many decades.
This
later.
Wasn't the kind of radio mind. That Amelia had.
No, she would have been comforted by the show. We would have held her in our arms and hugged her.
Something to listen to in that long, droning flight. You can play the show while you're painting the wall or washing the dishes. Not while you're figuring your income tax. We don't recommend that. But you can listen to us while you're doing any time-consuming chore that does not require the entire mind. Don't worry. It won't have anything to do with domestic terrorism. And by listening, you won't be on the FBI's radar. It's just radio, the happening sound. Coming at you from all directions, all the time. Houston repeatedly flood in a state known for its heat and dryness.
You've never been to the Gulf, man. Its own world down there.
It's barely above sea level, for one thing. It has insufficient infrastructure. It doesn't have adequate drainage.
You know, that's where Philo grew up.
And it's experienced rapid development over the years. This development has reduced wetlands, which could have absorbed the squishing moisture. And soak up stormwater runoff, now gone, paved over for concrete industrial business parks. So somebody has to pay.
Like this, like medical office music.
Yeah. While you're waiting, reading a magazine for your dental appointment. And they've got this big plastic model of a tooth. There's the dentine and the enamel there. Look at the roots on that.
Now, that's one thing that we didn't do. I was so tired at the wrong times when I was up in Forestville with Lies. I meant to stop at the Auburn. I'm sure here at 420 somebody's reminded you of that. I think you mentioned stopping there. In Auburn, you go off to the right there, the first exit, and go down into the sort of outskirts of... Now it's probably more than that, but the industrial area of Old Auburn on the right side of the highway, the downhill side, and, you know, coming down this way. And you see the dentist's office with the giant cement people.
Well, is that where you see that giant miner panning for gold?
Huge, outsized miner? All those have been done. They're, you know, as you come into town, you see those from the highway, because they're the theme park itself of that area. The miners... It's quite a history. It's not quite as jocular, no, as uplifting as...
Well, he's panning for gold.
Right. The minor history is not quite as... I can't think of the right words because I've been out in space too long.
Yeah, but he's... Whether or not the history is the same, he's still going to have been there panning for gold.
Yeah. So...
Maybe the result would not have been...
The giant naked people used to be by his office, and I meant to go by and see if they're still there for a long time. That's the one. That's what I was trying to describe. The dentist's office. He took some flack from moms and dads in the city who said that their children shouldn't see nipples on the way to school.
Wow, there are nipples outside the dentist's office?
They're 16, 20 feet high.
But they got
people.
Did they get rid of it? Maybe they didn't get rid of it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see on the way out. But I was, boy, you think about how there's still a 2-hour ride home. I'm driving. I'm thinking, okay, I'll just have to do without this time.
But sometime you'll pay it a visit.
Next time. He's got our host, that one, has an armored car, a ferret armored car with, it's either an observation car or the original turret has been modified or replaced. There's no gun on it, but a whip antenna and a little fake stick and you could have a gun and, I'd like to borrow it so I can do a movie about getting to the show, you know, in my little armored car. It's a tiny little thing. Ferrets were
fighting off
light observation car. Yeah.
Hordes of people who are trying to prevent you.
Yes.
Actually, you do run into some of those. It's a stiff thing trying to get to the show, and not so easy as one might suppose. There are many who loom in your way who you must avoid.
Maybe the Kissy app could be modified so you press the third button and a
Inviso shield would form around you to keep away the the dark people who roam the streets.
They would tap impotently on it, trying to get my attention.
Yeah, and trying to get your CD collection, even though they don't know what CDs are anymore.
No, I don't know. That one occasion, the lady really wanted the bag. The bag.
Yeah, that's... I had a guy show up who obviously had been inviting amphetamines into his body for a long time. And we had quite a conversation.
Last time, there was that young lady who wanted to enlist our aid.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Who knows what's going on?
At that hour.
Yeah.
On the street, anything could have happened.
Genuine, could be not, yeah. But I was worried about introducing her into our system.
Oh, right. Well, I know.
Who was going to take care of that?
I think she liked my suggestion that she should visit the nearby police station.
Oh, I didn't hear that, yeah.
Well, that they might sort her out. You know?
Yeah, the Bobbies, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
You know, possibly.
You know, some cute girl goes there in the middle of the night and says, I'm having a terrible time, can you help me? The cops might do something for her. Then again, it might be the absolutely worst thing to do, so... One of a spectrum of choices.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I couldn't put her up. You didn't even live on that side of the bay.
Yeah. No, that's a huge responsibility.
Yes, then when does it end?
But I'll comp her
like that French movie, Boudou, Saved from Drowning. Do you remember that one? The bum-like man that they save from taking his own life moves into their house, you know, and it's like taking charge of everything. They can't get rid of him.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. It's a famed French film.
Of course, it's a copy of Topper.
But Topper's about ghosts,
dead people.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. But they come, they move in, they just won't go away.
Oh,
they
got
a cool
old
dog. And
well, they're always there, but he can see them. Most people can't. So.
Yeah, and that's why they gave him the entire Uncle Corporation, an organization to run.
So it was that guy? I thought it was a different guy who was talking.
It has to be Leo G. Carroll. But you mean the... He did that on Broadway, right?
The same guy who was in Ruggles of Red Gap and... What was his name? Anyway, I thought he was Topper, Cosmo Topper. But maybe both actors saved the role.
Well, in the TV show, it was definitely Leo G. Carroll. And
okay.
I'm wondering who did it on Broadway when it was a play. That would have been fun to see. Whereas, see, Harvey, I still to this day don't understand. It's a lot... Maybe I just don't get Big Rabbits because... what's the other movie has a big rabbit?
There's another one?
Yeah.
Oh, the one about the kid who makes who fixes everything by making sure he was never born in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Donnie Darko. But I was wondering, the guy who played the part in the movies, also they made The Man Who Could Work Miracles. Alexander Korda made it, and he was the man who could work miracles. George McWhorter Fotheringay. So what's the dude's name? Another hole in my memory. A lacuna, if you will. I certainly
the
knew it at one
time.
The facts
are going away.
And I'm sure I still do know it. Yes, my subconscious mind is anxious to tell me as soon as I stop fretting.
Jumping up and
it,
down, looking through the little glass window at the bottom of the sidewalk, you know, when you walk by in the old ways in the big buildings. Remember those apartments? I always loved those in movies where they'd show the window that was way up high and usually had bars over it. And those were the cheap apartments back when there were cheap apartments.
Yeah, even
and spaghetti
in New York,
eating artists live there, so that's what I wanted to go do is drink wine and eat spaghetti and live in that little dank apartment.
I wonder if you could do that if you went to the Podunkville, you know, where nobody goes. Could you find an old place in a building, or you know, get a cheap, easy rental deal? But then they probably don't have a. Rent control in Podunk. Even in Reno, the rents are now sky high. But if you want to drive several miles south and live in an utter cultural desolation, it might not be that expensive for now.
Where? Like weed?
Nevada, not in California. Weed, yeah, probably you can do fairly well in weed, I suppose, if you want to be out in the weed. Out in the weeds, hacking with the golf club like W.C. Field.
You'd have at least one set of friends. And I guess your signs went up there last week.
Yeah. Well, they had to take one down because... Oh, really?
Yeah.
They put them up, but they hadn't built the posts, the frames, the...
But that could be construed to mean, yes, they would be the giant concrete embossed... No, how would they be...
Well, I hope they took my advice about how to install them.
The problem is you can't put up your own signs on a... Legally.
No, you can't legally.
But I'm sure these will be stolen before that.
Yeah.
No, so hardly anybody goes there. That's
all
the thing.
They've got to do is shoot a video of what it's like to drive along and see the
BMW is going way too fast because they're from the city.
Running over wild turkeys and other indigenes.
And then over time, it's the... they kind of picked up that traffic's in the... traffic time in the new cult era that is happening there. Where are the breatharians up? No, they're not really. Up the hill, live with the end of the world, just like we do.
Yeah.
Boy, think of all the movies about Trump that are going to happen after he gets out of office that are where Sarah Palin type of shots.
You mean what if movies?
Yeah.
Or actual just documentary?
Yeah. Venting themselves on the hate of Trump into these, you know, White House blowing up scenes that we always have. And the president in those movies is always wonderfully sympathetic or
escaping in the nick of time as the aliens blow up the White House, except in Mars Attacks where they kill the president.
Yep. That's what I mean. And you kind of, that president, you'll mind.
Crawling hand that comes loose, you know, and he shakes hands with the Martian leader, then it comes loose and it crawls on him and kills him.
You gotta love any movie that uses real buildings really blowing up at least once.
Mm-hmm. Well, I put it to use.
Exactly.
Make good use of it.
I wonder how much that costs. How much you get for, let's see, building blowing up, Chet.
Well, they were gonna do it anyway.
And so they did.
That is the wrong
And that would happen to KPFA
information.
Find some money right over here.
Money, money, money. Yes, it's
makes
important.
Makes the world go around.
Makes the world go around.
Keeps miss.
But it will help support this station and keep it on the air. Many envious eyes covet the wonderful place on the band that the station now occupies. How they'd like to turn it into a commercial station. Oozing oleaginously with capitalism. But instead, this is what you got. As long as you will endeavor to extend sympathy and money. No.
Was it Topaz, I think, the originator of this...
Not Roland B. Wilson, that's a cartoonist, and not Roland V. Lee, that's a movie director. I think he directed Son of Frankenstein, so who am I thinking of? Is his name Roland? Yes, Cosmo Topper. And then who were the ghosts? I don't remember who they were. At all, but the fun couple who died in a car accident with their dog and then came to live with Cosmo.
Yes, they were going to their vacation home on a snowy night and crashed into a tree, and that's really funny in the 50s.
Imagine you and your wife and your dog all dying in a crash at the same moment. Not even realizing that you had crossed over into the realm of death.
In our time, it was 6 feet under and Dead Like Me. And we always have shows around reminding us we got to figure out the death thing, which you don't really have to. It just comes when it's time.
Yes, death will come when it will come.
Yes, and he looks like a little devil in a satin suit. He can jump around the frame really fast, like a Millier movie.
Yeah, how did they do that?
And the funny part is as the cuts in the film increase over the age of over the time it's been out there, they begin to look like special effects when a second or two is gone here or there. It's the perfect medium. Except it had no sound. Imagine a film had gone on for a century before sound got hooked up.
Well, film was very expressive, and even silent movies did have sound. It was just provided on the spot.
Sometimes
with an orchestra, with music written just for the movie, sometimes with sound effects machine. But not like sometimes the Japanese did with narrators standing there by the side of the screen.
With social studies teachers. I saw The Exorcist on Okinawa, whatever year it was, that long ago when it came out, and they had side titles. It was really neat. But the audience went nuts. They loved that movie. They loved it because it fitted their
well, the Padres had already prepared them to see it.
Well, and they have a lot of specific female ghosts that kind of fit her symptoms. So they recognized in a different way, of course, that particular character and just ate it up. Yeah, and the fact that it was going up against the church just was that much more perfect. I saw, that's because, I'm going to give you these 70 minute, they're made for cable TV, I'm sure, compilations of review, kind of like
of what,
somebody's reviews. Our guest up in Forestville gave us a bunch of DVDs, which I've watched once, and they're cool, but that's all I need to do on those. And so it's endless little clips of monster movies interspersed with modern fake reviewers talking about parts and
what fake reviewers, eh?
They're real reviewers, fake in my mind. That's been poisoned by media for so many years. But fun to watch 1,000 clips of 1,000 movies really fast. And
sure.
And there's just stuff like a long Christopher Lee homage, a long interview with him. He's on a stage somewhere being talked to. And the sound is really awful because the people shooting it were using a camera, and they're probably in the back of the hall. And the,
well, that's frustrating. An interview sounds, where you can't hear it too well.
Oh, it's really maddening. I couldn't even watch it because it was so... it just can't be that way, or it's too wrong.
Christopher Lee was an instinctive actor, a very good actor physically. Did you ever see Devil Ship Pirates? He was in that one. Low budget, but good.
What year?
That would be early Hammer, but probably in the very early 50s or late 40s. Frankenstein Monster and the Curse of Frankenstein, as Dracula in Horror of Dracula, and as the Mummy in The Mummy. All those parts he played.
I know. Man, that was fun to watch in this sort of preview of things.
And later on, in Three and Four Musketeers, he was a great villain there.
He's in the background of my growing up, certainly, at the outdoor theater, mostly watching giant monsters on a giant screen.
And which monsters were those?
Things like Reptilicus. I remember that in part because the first time we saw it, it began to rain, as it does in the islands, and so all of us kids ran up to the old stage to lie on our backs. The movie goes anyway. There's just some bored enlisted guy up there playing it. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So we went up and lay on the stage amidst all the cigarettes and crap from decades of garbage and watched Reptilicus and looking straight up at that screen. That, of course, was thrilling when you were 11. So.
Amazing. A way to make Reptilicus thrilling.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect? Varan the sun monster? No, Varan was
Varan the unbelievable.
Right.
Gorgo, I watched the
other day. Gorgo speaks.
Yeah. That's the Scottish monster.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Scotland. And then they take him to England and...
To show him like King... Mighty King Kong.
Yes, they take him to England, and he's in Dorkin's Circus being exhibited as the most terrifying thing. But for all his gigantic size, it turns out he's an infant of his species, and just then his mother shows up, towering up to the heavens, smashing Big Ben, the Tower Bridge. It's even worse than the Blitz. You know, tanks, guns, nothing can stop her. And she collects the kid and they waddle off back to their home in the ocean through ruined England. M. Gorgo. It was the third of a trilogy of movies made about giant invading reptiles by director Eugène Lurier. The first of them was The Beast from 20,000 Dragons, when New York was invaded by the rampaging giant Redosaurus. The next was The Giant Behemoth. Has anyone ever seen a small behemoth? At any rate, it was The Giant Behemoth. That's a stupid American name. The British title was Behemoth the Sea Monster, but another story. This time London is invaded by the radioactive giant monster, dinosaur thing.
The Giant Behemoth, the fire-spitting monster predicted in the Bible, its core a seething mass of lethal radiation. Behemoth, unstoppable, monstrous, gigantic,
and so forth. And he also fries you with his special breath, and you see on the screen a whirling, a spiral superimposed coming out from the behemoth. Then you see people going, yeah, and falling down all burned and twisted. So there is that. But then the third film, Gorgo, in which I described, the monster does not die. Instead, the monster goes off with his mom at the end, and the monsters are all right. They had to kill the beast from 20,000 Fathoms, and they had to kill the behemoth. But Gorgo and his mom survive the film, the last of the three films about giant monsters made by Jean Lurier, who was a great art director, good director for that sort of thing. He worked with Jean Renoir. He worked on many classics. He wrote an interesting book called My Work in Films. Gorgo has its problems, and so does the behemoth. I still think the best movie is the first one that he did, The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, where he's utterly in control of everything, and it's not spiraling out of control. It's a giant spectacle of tanks and generals and falling buildings and... Also,
Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, black and white. The Giant Behemoth, black and white. Gorgo in smeary color.
Ooh, you really mean smeary color?
Well, it's in... There's something... it's probably my system, you know, the old VHS tape. It wouldn't be that smeary. It's on the screen, it would be sharper, perhaps, but it gives a smeary impression of...
Right. Well, it depends on the copy.
The monster
ruckus. If it is
ruckus.
Copy upon copy, the red frequency moves quite badly.
Well, it isn't one of the ones that Pedro recorded for me. It's an actual in-the-box video with Gorgo on the box. But, you know, you'd have to have a good print to start with.
Right. And if it's sometimes from a cheap movie place in those days, it would look not so great.
Mm-hmm.
As if it were copied from a Black Hawk film on your kitchen wall.
Now, Beast from 20,000 Fathoms was highly admired in the Blossom Land, Japan, by Eiji Saburiya, who made his own version of it called Gojira, which we over here call Godzilla. Syncretism between the Japanese and the Americans. Monster from Green Hell, a very strange film indeed. With giant wasps in Africa causing problems. They eat a giant snake, I recall. Such a strange film. Noah, some American plane with wasps on it crashes, and for some reason they grow giant, and man, are they giant. They're as big as Godzilla themselves.
Oh, I miss those days of the movies that were on at 2 in the morning. Usually it started on Channel 44. And we could do the soundtrack, but also just the quality of the movies. Rarely, they had the greatest bad movies ever because they were the bottom of the barrel in the movie deal that you had to make in the 80s.
Like Tabonga, I mean, From Hell It Came.
Maybe, yeah.
Tabonga was the name of the monster in that one.
There was one that was about a DC-3 full of nuns and schoolgirls, and it crashes on an island.
Oh, yeah.
And they are all now beach babes.
Oh.
And I think the nuns are dead. And
not Mermaids of Tiburon. No, that's a different one.
That sounds like too high class. This thing was so terrible and so funny. Yeah, because a Navy crew crashes on the island and they think they've crashed into paradise.
Dinosaur Island has the same plot where the army guys, I guess, crash on the island and it's got the great-looking prehistoric babes on it.
And these... I got coffee quotes from that movie because they didn't know any of things like coffee. And the best part was model shots. Not very good, but very charming model shots of both planes crashing at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat stuff when you have a certain amount of budget put into that. And look, they look great for little models crashing into sand tables on string.
There are some good model plane crashes, you know. If they worked hard enough on it, I don't mind that it's a model, especially where the plane crashes in the jungle and goes on, you know, for block after block, tearing through the palms and leaves and so on, finally stops. Cecil B. DeMille's Four Frightened People. And that's one I'd like to see again. I haven't for so many years. Samson and Delilah. Union Pacific. And Cleopatra. The old one, listen. The Crusades. How about that one? All the Cecil B. DeMille ones. The one about the circus and the Ten Commandments, which is the last movie he made. But he also made the silent version of the Ten Commandments. So it was a remake for him.
Consists of totally unmodulated room.
An amplifier that exploded. In hillbilly Hades.
The following test consists of totally unmodulated grooves. Unmodulated grooves contain no audio information whatsoever. This means that if you hear any sound at all, it is originating artificially within your system.
My system.
Listen for noise of any kind, such as hiss or crackling.
The snap and crackle and pop of the radio imps that grind their crackling of static in your face.
Hey, have you talked to Mark lately?
I haven't really talked to him, but he looks pretty down.
Yeah, well, maybe we should
blast from their past.
What do you suppose we should do?
Well, whoever the guy is, in Ruggles of Red Gap, he's British lord, and Charles Lawton is his butler, and he loses his butler in a poker game. Butler has to go to America and live in the Wild West. A most intriguing story. But and then he comes after him because he just can't live without him, you know. So the Lord shows up in the western town, too. And he, too, has a great time he's not expecting to have.
The music in this one's wonderful.
The music of the mummy. You wouldn't think that it was a very musical creature, but that was one of its talents. I know it's over for me. Making sure I'm not in too deep. Yes, one of many. One of a monstrous army of mummies. At first, there was only one, but then they had to create another one. You know, the first mummy was Imhotep, right? But then they created Charis. That was the next mummy to come shambling and shuffling down the pike. And when Hammer Films remade the Universal Mummy, they had him be Charis, not Imhotep. So the original mummy stands in solitary distinction. And, of course, they had to have the bloody Tanna leaves. Only the Tanna leaves bring a mummy back to life. Not the original mummy. The original mummy was brought to life by a magical spell from the Scroll of Thoth. And then he took over from there. But Charis was always controlled by some little guy with a mustache and a fez. You know, that's a different setup completely. You did feel sorry for him
in the
one where Tim Tyler, the Western actor, played the mummy, and it was good for a number of reasons. One was that they rotoscoped out his eyes, so you see his eyelids, but it's just blank in there, you know, which looks very creepy. Another thing is that when they drop the Tanna leaf juice on the floor by mistake, the mummy panics and he bends down and he's trying to lap it up with his lips, because of course they remove the tongue during the process of mummification. The panicked mummy all of a sudden groveling on the floor trying to sip up the Tanna tea, so carelessly dropped on the flagstones. And I think in that one they also had a great set left over from some other movie, which they really got maximum use out of the temple where all this stuff with the Tanner Leaf tea takes place. Not Ronald Coleman, but doesn't it begin with an R? Maybe not. Maybe not. Well, you have your device. You could look up and see who was in The Man Who Could Work Miracles. And that would be the answer to all these other movies, too. Then there was The Phantom of the Opera. First there was Lon Chaney doing it, and then Claude Rains, in a version about which it was said there was too much opera and not enough Phantom. Then Hammer got into the act again, and they made their version of the Phantom with Herbert Long. Jekyll and Hyde, a durable team, going back a long ways. It's been done again and again, but the best version.
So
was
what
the,
was it? The question.
The Man Who Could Work Miracles. Who's in that?
Roland Young, Ralph Richardson, Edward Chapman.
Roland Young. He was the original Cosmo Topper.
Oh.
And Lord in Ruggles Red Gap, or Charles Lawton's employer, who loses him as a in a poker game. Movie.
I know,
also
I've seen that.
It takes a comic view of what Americans are like in civilized Europe. There, with Charles Ruggles acting out. Roland Young. So his name was Roland. I was right about that. It wasn't Roland Lee or Roland B. Wilson or anything like that. Roland Young. For some reason, it wouldn't come. The answer was stuck. But perhaps if I had my blood up, I could have managed to recall it. You know, if I were trained to my fighting strength, and it wouldn't be such a chore to dig up some piece of data, like data. A giant office tower will be erected in San Francisco, bringing zero money to the city.
Or to KPFA.
Yes, that's true.
Maybe that's not true. Maybe we can get in there as little ghosts, little media ghosts, and
haunt the place
until they
fork over.
Exactly.
They'll be glad to part with their money after the haunting begins. The icy fingers of the dead goosing your spine.
And your wallet.
Yes. The bony phalanges of death itself lifting your wallet out of your trousers and ruffling through it,
like
removing
Topper
the currency.
Used to do it. Remember, they used to, even though they were uncorporeal, they would do things.
They could levitate objects and so forth. Yeah,
freak Cosmo out. At breakfast, and the little spoon would be putting the sugar in the coffee that wasn't there.
Those are very powerful ghosts, because most of them cannot affect the world of the living. They must watch impotently. They only wish they could do anything that would affect what they see going on.
KPFA move forward.
No, they can't contribute to KPFA once they are dead and gone. Unless they've left a legal arrangement, an estate, a legacy. If you would like to leave anything to KPFA, you would be fondly remembered. Your name would be inscribed on the large plaque which we pass by when we are heading into the station. That is, you would be physically remembered as a supporter of the station. Now, of course, in the far future, in the time tombs of Mars, people exist recorded on special tapes that supposedly that they hope some at some even remoter future age, from the information on the tapes, they can be physically reconstituted. It has all the information about them, and if you go in the tomb, you can see the tapes continually play, and they are apparently sitting there, some of them more completely than others. The problem, of course, is the tomb raiders who go in and rip out the valuable tape and desecrate your tomb.